Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. We're going till 9 o'clock tonight. So all this week on 710 ESPN, we're shouting out senior students and giving them a senior spotlight on air. So tonight we have Justin Wood from El Modena High School. You still have time, by the way, to nominate a classmate or yourself. Email the radio station. Email us ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com with your name, school, and sport you play, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 senior shout out. Justin, I appreciate you. Appreciate you hopping on the show, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good, good. So what is, what's life been like for you now that, there's no school right now? How are you spending most of your time?
Just staying at home, trying not to go outside, trying to adjust to this new schedule for our school that we got. And then, just trying to stay active as much as I can, really. Try not to get too lazy, you know?
Yeah. Don't do what I'm doing, Justin. Stay active, bro. Stay active. So what is that new schedule? How are you guys doing school right now in general? And we're going to get to your, I got a lot of baseball questions for you, but what is kind of how are high school students, like, how are you guys spending the day making sure that, you know, you're still learning and there's still education going on? What is it that you guys do?
Basically, we have to, like, tune in on our Google Classroom program, which is just, like, all three-year classes or however many classes you have. You have to tune in at, like, 9, 11, and 12, I think, the certain times are, but... Yeah, it's just making sure kids are staying on track and not slacking throughout the whole time. So,
is it tougher? Is it easier? I mean, how do you like doing it? I know you don't have a choice, but how do you?
Well, personally, I like to, like, be in school. So, like, it is kind of tougher having to just work at home, just on a laptop all day long. But, you know, I mean, I'm dealing with it, though.
No, I know. And that's obviously not something you have a choice on. Okay, so tell me a little bit about baseball. So you're a pitcher and you're a shortstop?
Yes, sir.
All right. So how was this season going for you guys? How was your high school doing?
As a team, we were doing pretty well. A lot of fun, a lot of energy going into the season. Yeah, we're just getting ready to go. We were really looking forward to it. It just sucks that everything was just cut so fast and so sudden, you know.
Were you guys already in playoffs, or you guys were still in the regular season?
No, we hadn't started our season. We were still in preseason.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Man, so you guys, so actually almost exactly like Major League Baseball, right? So they were in spring training and they never got a chance. All right, so... What do you enjoy doing better? What do you enjoy most? Do you like being your role as a pitcher or a shortstop more?
I would definitely prefer playing shortstop.
So shortstop, that
seems more engaging for some reason.
Who was your favorite player growing up, or what are some of the players that you look at in baseball and those are players that you enjoy watching?
Growing up was Derek Jeter, obviously.
Never heard of him. No, go ahead.
One of the greatest shortstops of all time.
Of course.
If you didn't know. Played for the Yankees. But, yeah, my favorite player growing up was Vlad Guerrero because he was on the Angels. So.
Is that your favorite team? Did you grow up an Angels fan?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Go Angels.
What do you think of – well – I know we're not in a position right now, but what did you think of their team walking into this season? How did you like just their chance in general in the AL?
They were looking pretty stacked, honestly. Yeah, our pitching was going to look pretty good, I guess, for once. We got all our people back, too. Good to see Otani, all them back. Yeah, the Rendon and Trout, hopefully we're going to do something good this year. I think they're going to be a good combo, so that kind of sucks to not be able to see that either.
Yeah, and hopefully, yeah, we'll see, right? Well, hopefully they still get a season at some point. So take me back through, what are some of your best memories in high school playing baseball? What are some stuff that kind of jump out to you over the years?
I've been on varsity for 3 years, so I think it was just awesome being able to
That's amazing. That's great.
Yeah, thank you. It was just cool being able to like be around older guys and learning from them, and then being able to apply that to my senior year. But fortunately, it didn't go as planned as I wanted to. But
all right, during high school, what was your best day at the plate? Did you ever have a day where you just went 4-for-4 or 5-for-5 or something along those lines?
I think I did. I don't remember like the exact stat line, but
yeah,
I know I did have at least like 2 or 3 hits, a couple doubles, probably something like that.
That's awesome. That's great, man. So what's next for you? I mean, what are you thinking for as far as college goes? And how about what you're looking to study once you do get into college?
I don't know. I was probably thinking about studying like business, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about going to stay at like the JC level, probably go to like Cyprus or some place like that. Haven't really like finalized it yet, so
yeah. Well, are you, and then how about so you said business would be one of the subjects that you like. Listen, I'll tell you this, and I know it's unfortunate that you guys had your school year cut right in the middle. I mean, I try and think of myself when I was a senior back in the days, like that's tough. You know, that's tough because you never really got a chance to kind of say goodbye to everybody, or maybe you did. I'm not sure if you did, but this is a tough scenario. Are you keeping in touch with a lot of your friends?
Yeah, I'm keeping a lot in touch with everyone as much as I can. All my coaches, all that.
Well, look, buddy, I appreciate you on the show. I'm glad we got to kind of highlight you a little bit and the success that you've had over at El Madonna High School. Thank you for doing this, bud. Good luck with everything.
All right, thank
you. Hopefully, college, when it does come around, you get some opportunities there to just continue what you were doing in high school, okay?
All right, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
All right, bud. All right, man. Have a good one. All right, Justin Wood right there. Man, I feel for these kids. I feel for these high school students. Man, can you imagine? I mean, I graduated in 2000, so obviously it was years ago, 20 years ago. But I can only imagine just kind of the school year being cut off. And I'm glad we're doing this. I'm glad we're giving some of these high school students just a platform to share their story and the success that they were having. They could tell a little bit of their background. So we're going to keep doing this all week long, and we're going to do it next week. So email us at ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your name, school, and sport you play, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710SeniorShoutout. Appreciate Justin Wood for hopping on the show. We got halftime coming up next. Jesse will handle that. Funches is on the board over there as well. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, good stuff from Justin Wood, this high school athlete coming in here, delivering on the radio. All right, so just a quick heads up of what we got coming up on the show. At 8:30, David Waldstein from the New York Times will hop on with Games Pause, sports companies shift to making medical supplies. So we'll kind of highlight some of the different companies doing some great things. So we'll do that. But for now, we got halftime. Jesse hopping on, Funch is hopping on. How you guys doing? Jesse, what's going on over there?
Whoo, I'm enjoying this weathery rain.
I love the rain too.
I'm a big fan. I feel sorry for Funch though. He's just kind of he's holding it down for us.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll get home in half an hour, and that's just plenty for me.
But then
that's
there
right.
You go.
No traffic.
Looking at the positives of everything, because we have the power of positivity, because we eat tremendous bootios, which leads to my first topic.
Okay. What do we got here?
WrestleMania was this weekend, Alan. It was held in the Performance Center in Orlando across two nights for the first time. Actually, I don't know. Not for the first time. I think they've done it something like that before. But, you know, for the first time without fans.
Woo!
Yep, there it is. Thank you, Ric Flair.
Woo!
was that MT?
Woo!
That's MT, definitely. So it was held a Saturday and Sunday night. Overall, it was pretty entertaining compared to what the circumstances that were involved. But what I liked the most is the something different they did. Alan, I sent you some highlights of the Boneyard match they had with Undertaker, as well as the Firefly Funhouse match with John Cena and The Fiend. Did you have a chance to watch those videos?
I did. I got a chance to see both of them.
All right. So, by far, that was the most kind of left field WWE has kind of taken. But I absolutely loved it. On Saturday night, I thought the Boneyard match was a perfect way to end the show. They brought out the American Badass Undertaker, which was one of his best, you know, not to mention he only has like two or three, but is one of his best gimmicks from like the early or mid-2000s. And then they ended Sunday night with the Firefly Funhouse match, which was by far my favorite thing of the entire weekend. But I want to know what you think, because you are the non-wrestling fan. You are someone who has no apple in this fight. Would you be more intrigued if they did more stuff like this?
So I'll tell you this. This is what I liked about it. From what I saw, this is what I liked. I liked that they're playing with what they got. What I mean by that is, okay, you know what? You don't have a 70,000-seat stadium or whatever they play in for WrestleMania. I know it used to be, you know, just regular stadiums, 25,000. Now it's different. They're playing in front of huge audiences. That's not there. So the fact that they took these, like, themes, right, and they kind of ran with it, where you didn't have to play in an empty arena. It didn't have to sound hollow. It didn't have to sound like there was no – I don't know. I like the storyline. Am I going to go out of my way and I'm going to watch it? I'm probably not. But I know there's a lot of wrestling fans out there, and I think they did the best they could with what they had. So that's the part that I like. I thought it was creative that they did what they did. And who knows, maybe that kind of puts the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, if they're going to be playing without fans for a long time, they got to be creative too. You know, you want to capture the audience one way or the other. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to do things differently, because all of these sports for the first time will have no fans. And that's going to be something that a lot of people got to adjust to. So I liked what they did. I liked how they did it, at least for the clips that you sent me.
All right. Now, Funch is a wrestling fan. What'd you think of WrestleMania?
I hated the first night. The second night, the quality of the matches were greater in the second night. And like we were saying in the breaks, you know, they had a couple matches that shouldn't have been on a card at all. Like they would have been like not even on Monday Night Raw. Like these matches are so bad.
Fluff pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the WWE could have found a better, you know, a better way to use that time, you know, during a pay-per-view, like to have a funny skit or anything like that, a pre-produced skit. Pre-taped or whatever. Like,
there wasn't a whole lot of that this year. That should have been something they could have done a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. They had nothing but time, like, to put this together. So, I mean, they had the Boneyard match and they had the, you know, the Firefly match.
Love WrestleMania.
Those were pre-produced, pre-recorded matches. So, I mean, I don't see why they could have did more things with pre-recorded stuff.
I'm going back when the show ends tonight. I'm going back. I'm going to watch every WrestleMania since 1984. That's what I'm doing.
Ooh, man, you're going to be in a cave for 2 weeks, man.
Yeah. No, that's how committed I am. I got to be honest. I think the last WrestleMania I saw, maybe I saw one with The Rock when it was still The Rock and Stone Cold. Maybe.
Well, we have to go back.
I can't remember.
We have to go back and refill your WrestleMania knowledge, especially if that's the last WrestleMania you saw. Depending on which
one. I think it was that long ago. Okay, let's keep rolling.
Keep rolling. So everyone's favorite Tiger lover, Joe Exotic, stays in the news.
That's my guy right there.
He had an interview last week.
Carol did it. Hashtag Carol did it.
Hashtag Carol.
Damn right she did it.
Damn right she did, Funches. Did it.
So somehow Joe Exotic got an interview last week via like a video stream from prison, and he had it with Netflix, and he said he is completely done with the Carol Baskin saga. He says, quote, "It is now time to turn the tables and get Joe out of jail, a free man, and exonerate him from all the these charges." Mm-hmm. Alan, do you believe that Joe is completely done with Carol Baskins? Or do you think that once he's just using this to get out, and as soon as he gets out, he's going to hop right back in it?
Let me tell you something. If Joe is done, I will fight for Joe. Okay. Carol did it. All right. Let's not forget about Carol. By the way, there's the funniest thing on Instagram. A friend of mine put this up. So Carol Baskin, right? Is it Baskin?
Baskins, yeah, with the
next. Okay, so Baskin. So, you know, whatever social that she has, Insta, YouTube, all that stuff that she uses to promote her sanctuary, whatever it's called. So there's a hilarious video of her saying to all,
"Hey, all you cool cats and kittens."
And then you hear in the background, "Help, help." You hear some background. I was dying when somebody sent me that. So I'm with Joe, but I 100% don't believe him, because if he got out, he'll be right back after Carol.
Yeah, he's 100% going back after her. What do you think, Funch? You think Joe Exotic's done?
I think a lot of them are done. That's why they keep on doing a bunch of press right now. They're just kind of trying to strike, you know, the iron while it's hot right now.
But it's hot.
It's really hot,
even
man.
If they don't say anything, I think just so many people are watching the thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they seem like they're going on any show right now, any show. And it's probably going to continue to be like this for the next couple of weeks until it dies out completely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw Mace, I think, has one of the guys that appeared on the show.
He has two of them on his podcast. He has one of Joe's husbands, the second husband, the one with no teeth.
No.
And he has the guy riding the water ski, the guy with the mullet. The snitch.
The snitch. I don't want to say it that much, but yes, the snitch.
Look at Mace booking some guests. All right, solid.
I got to definitely listen to that one. All right, so we're moving on.
Okay, I got a game.
Oh,
throw
game
in here real quick.
Game time. Let's do it.
All right, look, Funches and Jess, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to name a character from a movie, okay? Right when I name it, you got to call your name. So, Funches, if you know the answer, call it right away. Jess, if you know it, call it right away. And you got to guess the movie. So I'm gonna name the character. You got to guess the movie.
Okay? So we just shout out our names and then the movie.
Just shout out your names for the buzzer, okay. and then give the answer. Okay.
Sounds good.
Are you guys ready?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it.
Fredo.
Funches.
Jesse.
Funches. Go.
Godfather.
Okay.
Never seen it too.
Fredo Corleone. Bro, you.
Never seen it, man.
Wow.
The Godfather is so good.
I tried to watch it, but it was just too slow. Like, I'm like used to Goodfellas and Casino.
You know what?
You know? So good.
The Godfather is that kind of movie. I 100% get it. Like, you have to really put yourself in like that theater setting.
No, Mason Ireland were giving me stuff for not watching it. You know, they're like, they're giving me the business on the air for not watching this movie.
I will tell you, listen, because it's such a classic, you should just give 3 hours. I know it's a long time. Give 3 hours and just say, no matter what, I'm going to watch this entire movie. And I think if you do that, you'll have some appreciation for it. And then when it comes on again, it might catch you again, because that's what it did to me. Okay, second one. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Frank the Tank.
Jesse.
Jesse.
Oh, that's old school. Frank old school. The Tank.
Let's go. That's old
Frank
school.
Right, one. Tank.
1-1 right now.
You're my boy, Blue.
He sings at the funeral. Like, just that scene alone. I don't know how many times I watched that scene.
You're my boy, Blue!
All right, here's another one. Lloyd Christmas.
Oh, Funches.
Funches.
Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. Okay, 2-1. 2-1. Now, Funch, or Jess, if you don't get this one, then you know where it's going, all right? So it's 2-1 right here. All right. Jeremy Gray. John Beckwith.
Man. What?
John Beckwith.
No.
Vince Vaughn. Okay, so you guys don't.
Jesse.
Jesse.
Is it dodgeball?
No, you get one more. I see what you're doing there. Okay, you get Funches. Do you know it or no?
I don't know it.
All right, it's Wedding Crashers.
Oh man, dang!
Wedding Crashers.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Okay, last one.
You should have said Rachel McAdams.
last one. Hannibal Lecter.
Jesse. Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. Okay. Well, I don't have a tiebreaker here. It's 2-2. All right, go back. I'm gonna get one more because I had five here, but you guys both didn't know one. It's 2-2 right now. Jess, do another one. Funches, go after that. I'll have one more for the tiebreaker.
All right. We'll say the tiebreaker for the very end of this segment. We'll end it. We'll keep the building. We'll building the suspense.
Okay.
So in a recent article with Shams, Hall of Famer Kevin Garnett was asked if he thinks the T-Wolves will ever retire his jersey.
Combine
like
Durant and Garnett in the same
Garnett?
Person? Because that would be an amazing player. That would be an amazing player.
I did. I don't know how it happened, but it
can
did.
You imagine if KD
mean Kevin Garnett?
And KG were one player? That might be the best player.
That's a lengthy body right there.
Oh, my gosh. That's a baller. That's what that is. Okay, go ahead.
So KG was asked if he thinks the T-Wolves will ever retire his jersey like the Celtics plan to do next season. And this is what he said, quote, "At this point, I don't ever want any dealings with Glenn Taylor, the owner of the T-Wolves, or Taylor Corporation, or anything that has to do with him. I love my Timberwolves. I'll always love my guys. I'll always love the people who effed with me there. I'll always have a special place for the city of Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota in my heart. But this with snakes. I don't do business with snake mother effas. I try not to do business with openly snakes or people who are snake-like."
Well, I take it that Kevin Garnett isn't too fond of KG. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
It's sad too because
I don't think so.
That's where he should get his jersey retired.
I know, I agree with you.
Like I think he should get his jersey retired in Boston.
Well, he's going to get it retired there just because. That's
weird. And then like when he's what is he going to hall with? Like does he go in a hall with a Boston jersey?
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's true.
That's a great point because his years with the Minnesota Timberwolves were, you know, that's a incredible part of his career. That's how I remember he didn't want to leave. Do you guys remember that interview he had? Who was it with? Was it with Kevin McHale? I forget who it was with. And they were asking him, like, why don't you leave the Minnesota Timberwolves? And he was so loyal to that franchise. He wanted to win so
bad. I do remember that interview.
With that franchise. And, you know, obviously that never ended up happening.
Remember who's rumored to become a Laker?
I do. Do you hear that story? Do you know the story?
I don't know the story, but I knew that there was a summer where he was living in Malibu and he was seen around LA and
about
people
to happen.
No, he called. So the story was, and he said this, I think on a podcast or whatever he was doing, he said that he had shot a call. This might actually have been the Matt Barnes, the Up in All the Smoke podcast. With Stephen Jaskin. He basically said that he had called Kobe. Kobe didn't answer. And then I think he tried Kobe one more time. Like, I think he was going to try leaning to the Lakers. And I thought what he had said in that podcast, if Kobe hadn't called him back. So that's partially the reason why he didn't come with the Lakers. And what ended up happening? They face each other twice in the finals. KG gets one and Kobe gets one. Like, that's ironic, too, that's how it all kind of played itself out. But, yeah, I do remember that, Funches. I do remember that there was, you know, in a sense, some kind of chance. But I'll just wrap it up with this. When it comes to Kevin Garnett, I kind of hate to hear that. And that's, you know, obviously the Minnesota Timberwolves' fault for kind of setting up that type of climate there and falling back on their word. But KG will remember it. I mean, a big portion of his career was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's unfortunate that he doesn't want to be remembered in that jersey.
Yeah, no, it sucks. Hopefully, you know, they can find some way to fix the relationship or something, because, you know, KG's legacy does start there ultimately, and it finished with Boston, but it started there, and I think, you know, he should be remembered at least somewhat there.
Of course, and we're going to remember him as that. So whether he doesn't want to be remembered or not, we'll remember. Okay, Funt, you got something?
Yes, I do. Hold up here. Jeez. Can't find my questions.
Oh, don't worry. Hold your questions.
I got my questions.
I got it right now.
Oh, you got it.
Okay. Go ahead. So today marks anniversaries for two of the greatest baseball movies ever. 27 years ago in 1993, The Sandlot was released in theaters, and 31 years ago in 89, one of my favorite, not just sports movies, but just movies in general, Major League was released. And I also found out, too, a third baseball movie was released today. I just don't know what year it was, but The Bad News Bears was released today, too. Mm. So with all that, I ask you guys, what are your three favorite baseball movies of all time?
All right, Jess, why don't you go?
All right, so for me, number one of them, I'm not going to rank them because that's just kind of hard for me, but definitely The Sandlot and Major League are up there. And I think the third one for me has to be Rookie of the Year. I don't know if you guys
have
seen that movie.
Henry Rowengardner? Of course.
Oh, yeah, with the magic arm.
Yeah, the Cubs.
I used to watch that movie all the time growing up. Mm-hmm. So I think those would be it for me. Sandlot, classic, Major League, because it's just funny as hell. And then, you know, Rookie of the Year.
Let me say this. This ain't easy. I mean, how many good? When you look back, like when you propose a question, you look at all the different baseball movies there are too many. Oh, and they're fantastic. You know, they're great. So there's a lot of classics. If I got to narrow it down to three, Sandlot's in there, Field of Dreams is in there, and League of Their Own. Those are my three.
Okay.
Those are my three. And that's tough because I'm leaving out Moneyball, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm leaving out some other good movies. What are your three, Funches?
Major League, and don't laugh at me for my second choice, Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck. Have you guys seen that one?
I don't think I saw that. No,
are you kidding me? That's the one where he's a former Major League ball player, and he kind of just washes out the MLB, and he goes to Japan to play ball. And it's like a culture shock for him. My third one is 42, the Jackie Robinson story.
Mm. All right. Well, you can't go wrong with any of those movies, whatever movies that we're all watching. Jess, you got another one?
No, I'm all good. Let's finish this round so I can knock out Funch and be the winner.
Okay, here we go. It's tied 2-2. Characters of a movie. You guys ready?
Yeah.
This is the tiebreaker.
Let's do.
Neo.
Matrix.
Jesse. Oh,
damn it.
That's an instant disqualification.
What do we do with this? Funches, what do we do right there?
I think I didn't do the buzzer. And that's just, you know, I'm honest about it. Jesse had it because he got the buzzer. I didn't say Funches.
Listen.
And I already know he knows the answer.
I have one more. You guys want me to do the last one? You want to call that one a wash?
All right, you know what? Let's do it. Let's call a wash.
Let's do it.
Let's get this last one.
All right, ready? Gandalf.
Jesse.
Go.
That is the Lord of the Rings.
Of course you're going to get it.
That is
of course you're getting this.
All right, we got it. 3-2.
That's
three
one
two
of my girlfriend's
final.
Favorite movie. You and
three
Gandalf.
3-2 the final.
Woo-hoo. We going on an adventure.
That is the best I could do. By the way, if I use this same game tomorrow for Mason and Ireland, I think we would both agree 100% they would not have listened, so I could use it, right? Right, Funch?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Okay.
No.
All right, just making sure here. So I don't have to do that.
And with that in mind, Mason will pop on with his comrades in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, there you go. He'll be ready to go. Okay, great stuff, fellas. Jesse, good stuff. Thanks for putting all that stuff together, okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's do this. We come back. We've hit on baseball. We've talked a little bit about all the NBA angles that we could possibly take. How about Hard Knocks? There are two teams that they're looking to cover this year. It'll be the first time in Hard Knocks history. You know, that's the HBO, which is, in my opinion, as good as TV gets when it comes to putting together some of these documentaries or just kind of following certain teams They're both local. They want to take the Chargers and they want to take the Rams. I want to talk about that coming up next. And then this virtual draft that the NFL is going to do for the NFL draft this year. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. So I've definitely always been a Hard Knocks fan. You know what I like about it? I think this is I don't know if we get this enough when it comes to sports in general. I think football primarily. So the NBA, I feel like, does a fantastic job of promoting the players, right? You know the personalities. You get a chance. You're watching them 48 minutes a game and 82 games a year. You're seeing there's no helmet on. You feel like it's more personable. With the NFL, it's much tougher. I think with the NFL, first of all, there's so many players, offense and defense, 50 plus guys on a roster. It's just different. And I think the NBA has done a fantastic job promoting the players. So Hard Knocks, one of the things I like about it so much is it gets more personal. It allows us to get to know the players and the team and the coaches. There's a story behind it. You kind of get to meet a personality. So that's why I've always liked Hard Knocks. Now, the story out now is that the Chargers and the Rams, two teams for the first time in history, will be on Hard Knocks. Now, we have no idea what's going to happen with training camp, if that's going to go as planned. But I do love the fact that the two teams right here in L.A., both walking in the SoFi Stadium, I know this season is going to be like no other, and that's going to go with all the leagues right now. We have no idea when MLB is going to start. You know, one day you'll hear something about how are you going to play football without fans, or you know what, we'll be fine by the time August and September rolls around, but we don't have any answers. So everything's just kind of been questions. But the Hard Knocks part of it, what a way. First of all, I think the Chargers need this much more than the Rams do, because I think the Rams, you know, most of the players, they're big time players. They're covered much better on a local level and on a national level. For the Chargers, that's like a lost organization for the NFL. They don't have a fan base here. I've said that plenty of times. How much it makes sense for them to be in LA, I don't think makes much sense at all, but they're here. So if you do something like Hard Knocks, it can benefit the Chargers, because now all of a sudden you get to know the coach more. You get to know from a player perspective, you have more of a background on who these players are, what their personalities are, who's the jokester in the locker room, who's the more serious one, who's the leader. And I think you're going to get that with the Rams and the Chargers. But this is going to have to come under a scenario where there is football this year, there is training camp, all the players are in one area, you're not worried about social distancing. And it seems so tough to kind of imagine that now. I go for walks pretty much every day. Every time I go for a walk, it's crazy. Just crazy to kind of think of this. But if you're on the same path, if you're on the curb and there's somebody walking your way, you're either going to stay or you're going to go around the cars so you're always 6 feet apart. Who would have ever thought that that was going to be the case or that's going to be happening? So to think of NFL players going at it, to think of full games going on in MLB, NBA. We're so far from that right now in our head because we are just accustomed to now the social distancing and everything else. But I will say, from a marketing perspective, from an opportunity to learn more about both of these franchises and their players and their organization and the GM and the head coach, Hard Knocks for the Rams and the Chargers is fantastic. And I think the fact that it would be both teams here in LA, I read the story earlier today, absolutely love it. Okay, so the NFL, they're going to do this virtual draft. And I think there's only two ways. I kind of have a feeling here. By the way, I'm not opposed to this. I'm kind of all in on this. But it's either going to be incredibly successful or a complete failure. And I say that because there have already been, I think last week I was mentioning this, many GMs, they don't want to do this. They don't want to have this draft under these circumstances, under these conditions. But at the same time, the owners want it, and the owners are going to get what they want. Goodell is not listening. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of NFL, he's not going to listen to the GMs. He's, of course, going to always take the owner's opinion and the owner's side. But we'll see if this works. But I just I find it fascinating that I really genuinely feel it's going to be one way or the other. John Harbaugh, who's the coach of the Ravens, he's concerned over technology security. I mentioned other GMs don't like the idea. And this is going to be one of those circumstances, and the situation is going to be as simple as this. Everyone's going to be on an equal playing field. Team personnel will be working from their homes. And I have no idea if it's going to work, but I do like the fact that there will be some kind of content, and either the NFL will fall flat on its face or they're going to draw an incredible amount of people because everybody's sitting at home. So we'll wait and see what happens. If it is successful, you know, hats off to them for finding a way to make it work. If it's not successful, everybody's going to point the finger at the NFL saying, well, why didn't you listen to the GMs? Why didn't you listen to some of the coaches out there and not go through with this? So I promoted this a little bit earlier during the show. David Waldstein from the New York Times, he has an article right now with games paused, sports companies shift to make medical supplies. What a cool story and what a great article. And I'm excited to bring him on simply for the mere fact that we have talked about so many negative things over the last 30 days or so. And this is definitely something that highlights some of these companies out there that dropped on a dime of what they were doing to help make medical supplies and do what they can for the medical industry. So when we come back, we'll get into the details of that article. And, you know, certainly I think it's going to be a great conversation. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Welcome back to the Sliwa Show. David Waldstein from the New York Times, great piece right now. With games paused, sports companies shift to making medical supplies. David, what a great article. And I think, you know, for me personally, doing a show Monday through Friday, there's a lot of the conversations aren't the most positive, and we try and make it light where we can. But I think this is a great piece on kind of how some of these sports companies are helping to fight in their own way COVID-19. Can you educate us, for those who haven't got a chance to read the article yet, what are some of these companies doing?
Well, most of them are transforming what they normally do to produce things that can help in the fight against the coronavirus. So for the sporting goods companies, for instance, there's Bauer hockey equipment, right? They make helmets and masks. Well, one of their engineers figured, hey, you know what? We could turn these masks into face shields. And they modified, you know, he went to the CEO of the company, and the CEO was like, absolutely do it. And they modified their, you know, they came up with a design, they modified their machinery, and they produced something. You know, they also consult with healthcare professionals, and they came up with something that's pretty useful. And it's actually been going on across the sporting world with a lot of sporting goods manufacturers, and even in Formula One racing, which is really, to me, one of the most interesting aspects of it.
So they have, and this, we'll use Bauer as an example, some of the hockey equipment. So they're making these face shields. It's used for medical personnel. I think you had in the article, they got the ability to make 70,000 per week. So that's one example. How about what New Balance is doing?
So New Balance, very similar. This actually, I think it, a lot of them started around the same time, but one of the companies also was the company that manufactures baseball uniforms, and they converted to making masks and gowns with the actual.
That's Fanatics? Is that the Fanatics one?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so they produced a lot of masks that have Phillies and Yankee pinstripes on them. Using that actual material, they had you know, bolts of that material, and they just converted it to making the masks and the gowns. And New Balance is doing a very similar thing. In fact, they're using some of the fabric that they make their sneakers with, but then they've also come up with a different design, and they're experimenting with different fabrics that would be better. And some of that stuff has to get imported from Asia. And so they're working on that. And there's a company that makes goggles for swimming. This group of triathletes started this company, and they make these custom-made goggles. And they realize, hey, you know what? These can be really useful for healthcare professionals, especially EMTs. And so they're doing that. And while most of this stuff is protective equipment, what the Formula One teams are doing is really fascinating. They're working on making equipment for the patient, including ventilators. And the Mercedes team is working on a CPAP machine. I don't know if your listeners know what that is, but it's a, if any of them have sleep apnea, they do. It's a breathing device that helps you sleep at night and keep your breathing fluid. And it's a mask you wear over your face. So Mercedes has been working on that, their F1 team. And these guys, they're normal. I mean, they're building normally, the most high-tech, high-performance vehicles, right? And then they modify them week to week, and they have their own factories and stuff. And now those brilliant engineers are focused on this machinery. And so Mercedes is working on the CPAP, and there's a group of the other ones that are based in Britain, including Red Bull, Haas, McLaren, and Williams. They're working on ventilators for patients.
That's remarkable. I mean, it really is. And I think I was fascinated with the story because I guess right now the focus is on so many different things. But to see some of these sports companies, and obviously on a sports radio station, if I can highlight what some of them are doing, is fantastic. David Waltstein writes for the New York Times, got a great article right now. With games paused, sports companies shift to making medical supplies. So, David, when you started doing some of this research, were you surprised? I mean, the more information that you got, the more research that you were doing, the more companies that you saw were taking and stopping what their production was to help any way they can. What was your thoughts when you were putting this whole piece together?
Well, I actually wasn't surprised. I'm sorry, that's my dog barking.
That's okay.
I wasn't surprised because these people, I think there's millions of people that want to help. And these companies have the means to do it, right? They're in production and they were basically shut down as not essential. And there's a lot of altruistic people around the world that would love to help. And these people are like them, and they just, they have the means. And so they're working on it. There's other examples too. The New England Patriots sent, they lent their equipment, which was the 757 charter jet, which they sent to China to bring back 1.2 million masks. So it's, and I know that a lot of owners and groups are donating money. This story focused more on the transforming the equipment, using the equipment and the expertise in a different way to produce items. So, yeah, I really wasn't surprised. And it's very interesting that a lot of these companies came up with their ideas simultaneously. But, it was like, an owner here of a factory, or an engineer or a technician or an employee, like, hey, maybe we could make this stuff. Maybe we could produce this. So it's kind of nice to see everything chipping in any way they can.
Can you explain what Project Pit Lane is?
So Project Pit Lane is the conglomerate or the group of the all the different Formula One teams that are based in Britain that are working on the CPAP machines and the ventilators. And I guess what it's really interesting, the way it started, there were a couple of medical engineers at University College in London, and they have some hospitals. So they were talking to some ICU doctors. This is in the story. And they were asking, what do you guys need? And they were like, we desperately need CPAPs. And they were looking ahead too, like, we are going to have a desperate shortage of the CPAP machines, which seem to be working in China and Italy, and of course the ventilators. And so they, you know, one of the engineers, one of these university engineers working on medical equipment, he used to be a Formula One engineer, and he used to build engines for Jordan Racing and a couple of other racing teams. And then he was also in Le Mans and some American racing circuits. So he immediately thought of Formula One because that's what these guys do. You know, they have the machinery, they have the expertise, they have the technicians, and they make modifications all the time. So he thought of them. He called Mercedes, some friends of his who worked there, and they immediately jumped on it. And then there was also the need for the ventilator. So the Project Pit Lane is sort of the entire group together that is working on these two different projects. And they're going into production already. And in fact, I was texting with one of the engineers mm-hmm. earlier today, who said that they're ramping up their manufacturing distribution in the United Kingdom hospitals in the next couple of days. So they've also shared their design publicly so that anybody can produce them around the world.
Hmm. I love it, man. It's a positive story, and it kind of shows the you know, the it's almost like the competition in sports. There, these companies who are so accustomed to that are taking it and doing what they can to compete against a virus that we're all trying to get a hold of and trying to get control of. But it's a great angle, and it's a great article, and I love reading something like this. So, David, I appreciate you taking some time. Again, David Waldstein with Games Pause, sports company shift to making medical supplies. You can read it on the New York Times. Thanks for taking some time and hopping on the show, bud.
I appreciate your reading and having me on. Thanks a lot.
All right, so definitely a different perspective, unique perspective, and hats off to those companies for doing what they're doing. So their regular business is completely changed like everybody else, but they're finding a way to help fight COVID-19. Okay, when we come back, there is one thing I have to get into. Dana White, UFC, doing everything he can to keep UFC going and live events going. Plus, I started my no added sugar diet yesterday, because if I go out of my way and Jesse grabs a nutritionist to come on and she says, no added sugar, Sliwa, then I'm going to listen to her. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. The show just flew. Appreciate all the guests that hopped on. So UFC President Dana White, I know this has been part of a conversation today. Let's just say this. Dana White, I got to respect his ambition to find a way possible to keep these UFC fights going. I think they've canceled 3 fights so far. So for those that don't know the whole story, Dana White has found a location in the U.S. to hold weekly events for at least the next 2 months. And it looks like this is for UFC 249 on April 18th. So that's the earliest one coming. In addition, he has found an island for international fights, and that's to accommodate fighters that can't come back to the U.S. right now because of all the safety guidelines and everything else. Listen, there's something about this. I have definitely had my own take on all of this. Whenever sports are trying to, if you guys remember when NCAA was kind of delaying canceling the tournament, and they even had the Big 12 or the Big East was playing their conference tournament, I was like, what are you guys doing? You know, they canceled it at halftime. And every time I felt like there's any sport, Premier League in Europe at one point said, oh, no, these weekend games are going to go. And then, of course, they got canceled. And I actually even called out Dana White in UFC that, you know, he had some clips maybe 2 weeks ago or so saying, no, we're moving forward. We've got every safety precaution that you could think of. We're good to go. In my head, I've always had this thought process of, no, you don't. And these events are not going to go on, right? The concept can probably be there. You can have that ambition to want to do it. But at the end of the day, your sport is not going to go on. You're going to be canceled or postponed like all these other sports. It does seem like, in Dana White's perspective for UFC, it kind of feels like they're going to have these events. And, you know, he has said that he's gone through all the safety guidelines, and he'll make sure to go through all the safety guidelines so that these fighters, and this sport's different, right? UFC, you have one ref in the ring. You have the two guys fighting. Not to say that there aren't more people involved, because of course there is, but it's not like the NFL where you got 22 guys on the field at once. It's not like the NBA where there's 10 players and everybody's kind of lined up right next to each other with all the bench guys, the coaching staff, and everything else. So it is a little bit different because it's more one-on-one competition. But I respect the hustle. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if, you know, if some shape, way, or form, because I think this could happen in predicaments like this, if higher-ups, government officials say, no, you guys cannot have these events or these sports right now. But it sounds like he's found a way and he's found a path to still have these events go on. So we'll see what eventually happens with UFC. But Dana White, I will say, you know, I'm not the biggest UFC fan. I'm not. That's just not my style. I'm not a fan of. I know there's an art to it. I know there's an incredible art to it. And somebody who is very, very knowledgeable in UFC, I'm sure they could sit here and they could try and educate me on, you know, what an amazing sport it is. It's just not for me. And I don't know enough about it. And I'm not a fan of, you know, watching somebody get their head pounded in, even though I know that if technically it's an art form, it's just not for me specifically. So we'll see what happens on the UFC front. Last thing that I want to mention. So Jared Dudley did an interview with The Athletic, and one quote stands out to me. He talked about how this was his exact quote. This was our best chance to win. And he's talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. By the way, I was talking about this last week, and I don't say it and I don't take any pleasure out of it. LeBron's with the Los Angeles Lakers for 4 years total. 4 years total. 1 year's already out of the way. This year is obviously his second year at age 35. Next season, and then the last year of his four-year contract, it's a player option. Do I feel like LeBron's going to go anywhere? No, I don't. But damn, do I agree with Jared Dudley that I feel like this year was the Los Angeles Lakers' absolute best shot to win an NBA championship. That doesn't mean that we don't have a shot next year. That doesn't mean that this season can't play on. But the Lakers were rolling. So when I hear that right off the bat, definitely that stands out in my mind that I agree with Jared Dudley. And I know this is a player that has been in the league for a long time. I know he's not playing major minutes for the Lakers, but he's a knowledgeable guy. You respect veterans like that. Okay, so last week we got a chance to bring on a nutritionist. And Jesse, you remember that conversation, right? You remember that conversation vividly.
I remember what the challenge you accepted was.
Okay, so Funches, you asked me during the break. I mentioned to you that she said, okay, this is the challenge she has, no added sugar. That's all she told me, no added sugar. Do you know what she was referring to about that or no?
Not at all. Not at all. Okay.
All right. So basically this, a lot of the foods that we eat day to day, and I'm not going to sound like I know what I'm talking about or I'm a nutritionist, but I've done a lot of research since then, because if I'm going to do a no added sugar for 2 weeks, well, I better figure out what the hell I'm talking about. So if you look at any type of food and you look at the back, it actually, there is a category, just like it says, you know, calories, fat content, you know, all that sodium. There's actually one that says added sugars. And what she's trying to get me to do is eat no added sugars for 2 weeks. So every condiment you could think of has added sugars. Okay. If you try to go have granola, incredible. Any cereal.
Are you serious? I just had granola.
Bunches, any cereal you could think of has added sugar.
Man, I had cereal yesterday.
Okay, I love, listen, I could eat cereal all day long. I could survive.
Even if I had
cereal.
Like frosted mini wheats or something like that.
Oh, some Captain Crunch berries.
Go, fellas, I'm telling you guys, go look at the back of whatever cereal box you have at home. And
no.
Look at added sugars. It's insane, the added sugars. Okay, so this is the point. What she's trying to do is eat as natural as you can. So typically, if there's no added sugars, then you're probably eating something that's more natural, right? So eat as many fruits and vegetables as you want, but stay away from the added sugars. That's the challenge I got for 2 weeks. I'm a day and a half in, and you know what? I'm surviving, guys. I'm surviving so far.
Sir, this is the first day, and you're just surviving Hoy Island. I pray for you, my friend.
Listen, sodas, those got to go.
Oh, without a doubt.
Any type of, you know, obviously the obvious fried food, stuff like that, those all got to go. So we're figuring it out, guys. One day at a time. All right, Jess, Funches, appreciate it. Funch, appreciate you kind of hopping in there.
Yeah, thank you, Funch.
And we'll do this again tomorrow. Don't forget, Travis, Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ starting tomorrow at 6 a.m. And then the Sliwa Show, back at it, 6 o'clock crosstalk with Mason Island, and then 6:30 we'll do the Sliwa Show. L.A., greatly appreciate you guys tuning in, and have a great rest of your night.